Good evening. So, I'm blessed to be here among you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, I like that. I had to say it twice this morning in Grass Valley. I start that way because we come to celebrate the birth of Christ. But Christ rose from the dead. And that should be the focus of our attention in learning the message and the story of Christ. I'm pleased to hear that we read from Isaiah. And as we go through the sermon reading this morning, this evening, as we read from Matthew and Luke, I hope to make reference to some of those passages in Isaiah as well. So if you'd open your Bibles this evening, then we'll begin in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, and then we'll break from there, and we'll open Luke and continue reading the Christmas story. This is the holy word of God. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. And when all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, and behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. That far the reading of God's holy word. So we begin again with Christ risen from the grave. But he was born in a stall, at an innkeeper's stall perhaps, an innkeeper's stall where he kept his animals, where he was laid in a manger. And this woman, Mary, who was a virgin, was foretold, as we read in Matthew, when Ahaz, the king of Judah, was given the opportunity to receive a gift from God. Now, you might imagine that if you were given the opportunity by God to ask anything of him, a sign from the heaven above or in the earth beneath, that you might be compelled to say, well, if God was speaking to me, I would grab a hold of that promise, and I would ask him to show me a sign. But Ahaz, who had a wicked heart, though he was a descendant of David, refused to do so. And in pride and in arrogance, chose to say, I will not tempt God, though the prophet of God stood before him and said to him, ask for yourself a sign that Israel will be delivered, that you need not make arrangements with Assyria. You don't need to turn to anybody but God to deliver you. And because Ahaz refused, the prophet spoke the words that we read in Matthew, that a virgin would give birth. You see, Ahaz was being foretold that God, and God alone, was the only one who could deliver the nation of Israel. Indeed, could deliver any of mankind. Although he did not understand nor comprehend. Indeed, that truth which was revealed through the prophet Isaiah was not revealed and comprehended until it was spoken clearly by the angels to those who received the message, Joseph specifically. And we have that recorded in Scripture for us. And we note that the significance of this is important because the entirety of the gospel message concerning the birth of Christ in a manger and in his infancy, the beginning of his incarnation, begins in the book of Genesis. In fact, the long passages that we read tonight, if we were to read every passage concerning Christ, we should begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and conclude in the final verses of Revelation. For all of the Holy Scripture reveals to us the nature of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The grace and the mercy of God which is delivered to us in the form of that infant child, not only at its birth in a manger, in that stall, but also, and more specifically, when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin. For you might remember that Joseph was encouraged to take his wife, though she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And specifically the angel said, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The only begotten of God, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now she rightly said, how can this be so? For I've never been with a man. And the angel responded to tell her that she had been chosen, and that the gift that was going to be in her was going to be for the salvation of his people, that he would save them from their sins. And that is something that we must remember as well. That Jesus Christ did not come to be born in comfort. He did not come to be born in a hospital or cared for by midwives. Mary was not cared for as a queen, though she gave birth to the King of all creation. But yet she walked 90 miles or perhaps traveled on the back of a donkey. She came to an inn in the place of Bethlehem where she and her husband were being respecters of the law, going to fulfill the requirement of the census, and there was no room in God's providence found for them. They had to go into the stable. Now stables, some of you may have been raised on farms or have worked on farms. Maybe you have experience with that. They're not clean places. They're filthy. But no less filthy is my heart, the place where Christ now sits on the throne. No less filthy are the hearts of each one of us here. When we confess our sins, when we ask God to forgive those sins, and we ask him to enter into us and to give us the strength to recognize the sins we have yet to confess. This is why the baby came. This is why Christ was born. That we might come to the day when he would be offered up, not in a manger, but on a cross. And so we see that there's a consistency in the message from the very beginning of the gospel. For you see that Mary was a woman, and Christ was the seed of a woman, having no seed of man contributing to his birth. So that the prophecy that was given in the cursing of the serpent in the Garden of Eden was fulfilled in that moment that the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in her womb. You see, Eve had believed Abel was the answer to that. Of course, she was incorrect. We might also recognize that the woman was cursed in Genesis, that she would suffer much in childbearing as a part of the curse that was set upon her. And we see that fulfilled in Mary as well, who traveled those 90 miles as she was bearing the Christ child. Christ himself enduring that journey in her womb. With no comfort, with no midwives, no hot water, she gave birth in a stable to the Lord of all creation. Your Lord, my Lord. We sang of him tonight. We have prayed to him this evening. I pray and I hope that you will take these words with you and carry them with you throughout the week. To remember that this celebration, Christmas, is not about a baby in a manger, but it's about a man who came as God, the God-man. And he walked on this earth. Not only was he in the womb of the Virgin, he was a child. He endured the sinfulness of his parents as a child, a perfect child. When they came to him, when they had lost him after they had come to the holy city, when they finally found him in the temple, they said to him, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I thought you would understand. I need to be about my Father's business." And they were dumbfounded. How quickly they had forgotten the message of the angel. How quickly had they forgotten the message of the shepherds who had come and said, "The angels sang to us and told us of the Lord of glory, our Savior. And we've come, the sign that they gave us that he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes in this manger. We have come and we've found him." And this is what they said, even though the text tells us that Mary pondered these things in her heart and kept them to herself. Within 12, 13 years, they had forgotten that. Now, I was a sinful child. Often I was the one who was the troublemaker in my family. I was the oldest. And I can tell you, when something went wrong, it was probably me. I was the one that did it, or I instigated it. But can you imagine being a child where you never did anything wrong, and your brothers and sisters are pointing at you and saying, "Jesus did it"? You see, he suffered not only in the Virgin's womb, the humility of humanity, but also as a child, he suffered the humility of humanity as well. And he went from the manger to being a young child, to having siblings, to at 33 years of age becoming a man. A man who never went to school, was never formally educated, he never held public office. And yet here was a man who changed the world because he was the God-man. You see, salvation came in the form of Jesus Christ, not only in the conception in the Virgin's womb, but in the entirety of his being. And that's far beyond his humanity, for it transcends his humanity. For as we're told in the book of Revelation, before the foundations of the world, he was slain. You see, Christ had covenanted with the Father and the Spirit to come to fulfill the promises of what mankind was to receive. Before Adam fell, before Eve fell, before the planets were created and the stars and the sun and the moon were placed in their place, Christ had determined to come and to die for your and my sins. You see, he knew that he would be in the manger. He knew that the shepherds would receive the message, the accolades of who he was. And that they would go and they would see the sign that they were told to receive. That evidence that what the angels were speaking was true. And they went forth and they shared it with people. And people were astonished. What would happen today if somebody came and told you a story like that? I know somebody came to me and told me they saw a bunch of angels singing over on a mountain telling them, me to go look at this or that. I think you might have had one too many to drink, buddy. But we know that those things don't happen anymore because this message came and it was delivered and it was recorded for our benefit so that we could read it today and we could rejoice in the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ. That we would learn of the salvation that is ours because he shed his blood, because he became a child, because he chose to be born, he chose to live and to die for you and for me. It's important that we understand the precept that I pointed out about Ahaz earlier, for it shows the consistency of the holy word of God. For it teaches us both from the very beginning until its very end that there is one theme and one theme alone. That theme of which I continue to say is Jesus Christ. His love, his mercy, his grace. We take all of these things for granted every single day. For we wake up and we breathe and we have sight, those of us who can see, and we hear, those of us who can hear. And we don't think to give thanks for those things. Our hearts beat 80, 100 times a minute, pumping the blood cells in our bodies round and about so that we are blessed with life. Life, we are told from the scripture, which is in the blood. We know now that if you take the blood away, the life goes away too. We don't think to give thanks for those things. At this time of year, we look at Christ and we see him as a baby. At least that's the way the media portrays him. There's a lot of upheaval about the manger scenes and, oh, this state's banning them and this, you know, this courthouse is not allowed to do it anymore. And the message gets lost. It's not the message of Christ. It's a message of religion and contest and strife amongst men. But, beloved, we have the opportunity, having known the truth, having received that blessed gift, to be able to share the message clearly and concisely with everyone with whom we come into contact. To share the reason that we can love those who appear to be unlovable to the rest of the world. Have you ever had that question asked of you? Why is it that you are so caring? Why is it that you are so loving? It should be each one of our goal that the love and the care that we show not only to one another, but to the rest of the world is exactly like that which Christ did for us. He came and he confined himself to the womb of the Virgin. He was born in the most lowliest of low places for our benefit so that we might see that he relates to us in terms of our humanity. He wasn't in the palace. He didn't send heralds out and kings. The angels didn't come to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the chief priests or to Herod and Caesar or any of the rulers of the earth. He came to the lowly shepherds who were in the field at night. They're like you and me. Now, I don't tend sheep. I tend people. That's my responsibility. It's the same responsibility each one of your ministers here at Covenant Reform in Sacramento has. It's what every minister of the gospel is required to do wherever he serves, and the elders and the consistory as well. And Christ is our example. We don't look at the people that we're ministering to and shepherding and say, well, you know, Christ has this really high standard, and you have to meet this high standard or you can't get in. No, we look at Christ who was born of the Virgin. We look at the lowliness of his estate. We look at the content of his message, which says to come to him with your burdens and that he will take them from you. He will deliver you from the burdens of your heart and the discontent of your life and the lowliness and the humility that you suffer as a human being in this life right now. And we say to you, each one as members of the human race, come, receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Profess Him as your Lord and Savior, and we welcome you with open arms. And if you refuse, then we must say, you're always welcome here. You can always come and hear the word. But I'm sorry, if you reject the Lord and Savior, then there are certain things that you cannot do. You cannot come to the table. I may not be able to come to your home to fellowship with you there. But we do not reject them outright, because we care for them. And like a shepherd who tends to the sheep, those who received the message of the gospel in those fields, as they were tending at night to the sheep, they were a picture of those who would receive the message of the gospel, the lowest of the low. And Christ continued that tradition in his ministry as a man and an adult. He went amongst the prostitutes and the drunkards and the publicans, and he was accused of being with them. In fact, the woman who washed his feet, there were people in the room who were thinking to themselves, if they knew the nature of this woman, he would not let her wash his feet if he knew what she really was. And the inference there is that she was a prostitute. But Christ knew her heart. You see, it doesn't matter what state or condition you are in. The message of the gospel was to and is to all who will hear. And so we proclaim that truth to you as those who are your servants, those who are servants of God. Now we sang tonight of Isaiah chapter 9. In there we're told that Christ is called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is who was born in a manger. Almighty God. Now that's astounding. I can't comprehend it. I know the story, like most of you, very well. But I cannot fully comprehend that. And there's a reason why I can't fully comprehend that. Part of it's because of the culture that I was raised in. You know, I saw The Little Drummer Boy on TV when I was a kid. And I saw all the fluff and the pomp and the things that don't have anything to do with Jesus Christ and his true nature. But we're blessed to have the words that tell us that indeed this is the truth. That the Creator of the universe confined himself to the virgin's womb. It's amazing. And it should amaze us. Just as when the shepherds went and proclaimed what they had heard and seen, it amazed everyone who heard it. How could such a thing be? Such a thing could be, beloved, because God, in the announcement that he gave to the angels, if you remember what it read there, it said at the end, goodwill towards men. But in the Greek, the literal translation would be more along these lines. The good purpose of God in man. That's what's being inferred. Now we know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. So how can there be any good purpose in man? Well, you see, it's God's purpose that's being referred to there. Not our purpose. Not what man is doing. God intended from the very beginning to save his elect, his people, from their sin. His good purpose in man is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So you see, not only does Isaiah tell us of those glorious things which we heard read by the elder this evening, but also it tells us of the suffering that Christ should go through. And most of us tend to think of that suffering in terms of his passion, when he was beaten, when his beard was plucked, when they struck him. They stripped his clothes and he was nailed to the cross, the crown of thorns. And these certainly are sufferings. But the Almighty God of the universe began his suffering at the moment of his conception, when he confined himself to the virgin's womb. And his suffering continued from the moment that he was born in that stable stall, laid in a manger, and was afflicted by human sin throughout his entire life until he went to the cross to fulfill the law and become a curse for us. I want to say that again. He became a curse for us. He took on your sin. He took on my sin. When he said it was finished, it was finished. And he reigns right now at the right hand of the Father so that we have immediate access. We come here tonight because this is the place where God has said we are to come together and be in his presence. You see, salvation came in Christ Jesus, even from the manger. Now, I want you to think about this. When you think about the manger, I want you to think about this. Because Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation, was laying in that manger, it was a throne. He ruled from that manger just as he ruled from heaven when he was with his Father. He ruled there just as he ruled in the cornfield when his disciples were accused of plucking heads of grain, and Christ said, there is one greater here than the temple. So when you hear about the manger, when you think about the manger, you think about that. Salvation came through the lordship of Jesus Christ, even as he suffered in the manger, which was his throne. In fact, every place that he went in his life, he made holy by his presence. And he makes us holy as his people by sitting on the throne of our sinful hearts. Pray with me. Father, we come this evening. We have looked at your word. We have read those things which amazed so many thousands of years ago. Father, that continues to amaze us now. We do not fully comprehend, nor do we completely understand how it is that you confined yourself to the virgin's womb. Why it was that you chose to be born in a stable, or why it was that you chose a manger for your first bed. But we know, Lord, that you humbled yourself in all of these things. And you suffered as only you could. For you were righteous and you were true and you were just. You were kind and you were merciful. And the love that humanity was meant to know and to understand from its inception was fulfilled in you. You showed kindness to those who others despised. You demonstrated your love by going to the cross. You nailed yourself to the cross for us, that we could call you our Lord, that you might call us your brothers, your sisters, that we might receive the adoption of saints, to be in your holy presence, not only now in this life, as we make small beginnings in drawing near to you, but also, Lord, to be with you forever, to be in your presence in all of eternity, and to rejoice in you. And for these things we give thanks. Father, may we go forth from this place filled by the power of your Holy Spirit. May you pour out that power in us day by day, that we would give thanks for the beating of our hearts, for the breath that we draw, for the wakefulness that we receive, for the sleep that we receive, and for all of the smallest gifts that we take for granted, which come by your mercy and by your grace, that we may come again into your presence moment by moment, day by day, and lift our hearts in praise and in prayer to you to give glory in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.